God, we thank you that we're here because you're here. Your son Jesus came, brought by his parents, to be presented into the temple to fulfill the law. And he's still here. And yet the temple that he's in is our bodies. Help us to embrace him, not just by faith, but to walk with him and talk with him day by day. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come by before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found, we stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And we sing that in church, and it's true, and it's right in church. But as I said in my prayer, it's also true and right wherever you go. Provided, of course, that you believe it, that you receive it, as in receive the truth. Because you don't only receive the truth, you receive him who is the truth, because he's a person. And we have a relationship with a person. Not just Almighty God, who's away up there in the clouds or above the clouds and where we think heaven is, because that's the way we talk. I'm not saying that he's not up there, but he's here. He's here. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and I walk with him and talk with him. And my prayer is that everybody here does exactly the same thing. And believe it or not, that includes the little children. Because yes, they do not understand as we understand. Because they're children. And they're not adults. But they hear and receive and believe as little children. And as I've said before, it happened in the last church up in Lack, because somebody related this, is that they went home because the wife was making the dinner. She'd stayed at home and he came to church with. Okay, well, he had one of each at that stage. Can't remember which it was. Well, there was the, I think it was his son. And the son was doing what children do that are too young to go to Sunday school. They sit in church and they play, or they run about the place, and parents go scatty trying to think what to do with them. But in that, they get distracted. I mean, the parents. And they don't hear everything. But the child hears everything. And so they pick it up as children. And yet, you know what? God looks at us, and I'm talking to the adults, as children. And we get all puffed up and annoyed. Because I know I've told that before, and there's people in here get annoyed at me telling that, and they miss the story. They miss the sense that God wants us to be children. Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting for a minute that we get out the Play-Doh and the big balls and start running around the place. But we've to come to him as little children. And for some of us, that's harder to remember and to imagine. And what I mean by that is to remember back to whenever I was a little child. And in some ways, there's a lot of things that I had as a little child that the children today don't have. Mainly, we were outside all the time. We were running in the bushes and the trees and jumping over rivers or into rivers or, oh, forget that, just run through the river. Who cares? Because we didn't care. We just wanted to get out. We played cowboys and Indians and we're mucking all over the place. It was brilliant. Because the kids today don't do that. Kids today do this. And the parents would love to get them out. And some of them they may be successful with. But the thing is, they'll go out with their phone. And then they can tap so that they can contact them if they need them. But really, it's so they can go... And then there's other things that we didn't have that now the very young children have. And that's these play parks with all these big foamy balls and things and soft centres and safe centres where you can fall over and not hurt yourself. Because we were very good at falling over and hurting ourselves because it wasn't soft and cushy. But now the world is like that, to protect them, to let them have fun and they can jump in these places and these. We didn't have that. And there's part of me thinks, I wish we had that. Am I the only one that would want to go into one of those places at night time with nobody knowing and just to use them to get to find out what they're like? Not the only one, or no, you wouldn't want to do it. I'll take it that I'm not the only one. And you know the reason for that? It's because at heart we're all big kids. And that's what God is looking for. Because he wants to relate to us as children. He wants us to come to him and go, Daddy, I love you. And again, I've said that before. Right there, I lost half the congregation. How dare you call God Daddy? But who is he to you? Because I know who he is to me. And I know that he loves me to bits. And I know my earthly father is no longer here. But I called him Daddy. I definitely didn't call him Father. Or Mr. Capper. Call him Daddy. Because I knew him, because I loved him, and I knew he loved me too. Even at times whenever he would have punished me, I still loved him, even though it hurt. Because I knew that he loved me. And over time, probably over many years, I got to realize that it actually hurt him more hurting me. Although definitely at the time it didn't feel that way. But he was my daddy. And that's the way God is to me. He's my daddy. And yes, there's times I talk to him about being my heavenly father. And very definitely in the prayers. And that's because of our religion and tradition. Because maybe that's one step too far that I find it hard to go, dear daddy, I hope everything's well, and which I know it is, and keep us safe. That just doesn't sound right. And perhaps it doesn't sound right because that daddy term is a personal thing. You see, we read in the gospel about how Joseph and Mary personally brought their son into the temple. And they marveled at the things that were happening. And sometimes we get surprised by that. Because we think, yeah, but they were Mary and Joseph and they knew that they had Jesus and they knew who Jesus was. But that's only because we're reading it now, 2,000 years later, and because we know the story, that we think of it in those terms. But it says in verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him, talking about Jesus, this is Luke chapter 2, took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then it says in brackets, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. In other words, set apart. And that was true in every Jewish family. Jesus was their firstborn male. And he was their firstborn. And he was theirs. Even though we know technically Joseph had nothing to do with it. He was his son. And he took him as his son. Which in itself is another sermon about how great and gracious and wonderful Joseph was. Because he very much took Jesus as his son. Verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Very simple offering. And they would have come to the temple and they would have come up to what we know as the communion rail, but there would have been a curtain here. Different. And because it was a different sacrifice, it wouldn't have actually been there, but in a different part of the temple. Because Simeon was not the high priest. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In context, this is at Jesus' time. We now have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And Pentecost came after Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. In the context here in Luke chapter 2, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, was poured out on individuals as God saw fit. Not on the whole nation. But Simeon was a righteous and devout man, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, he was hearing God, and he was walking with God. And he knew when he went into the temple that day that Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus, and Jesus was the Messiah. Now, it doesn't say that there. But he must have known in some way to be able to do what he did and to say what he said. And in a sense, it's a bit like John the Baptist later on in the story, whenever Jesus was 30. So 30 years after this. Whenever John baptized Jesus in the water. And if you remember in the story, John said, as God had told him, that the Holy Spirit will descend on my son in the form of a dove. So he'd seen something. He knew something was going to happen. And it doesn't go into the details here about Simeon. But Simeon knew. And what I keep saying to you, and what I keep encouraging you to realize and to believe, that the same way that God spoke to Simeon, the same way that God spoke to John the Baptist, is the same way that God wants to speak to you today. He doesn't just speak to me when I preach and for preaching and for preachers. God wants to speak to everyone. Everyone. And so therefore we need to be people that are open and receptive to him. We need to be people that are hearing and listening. And I know that sounds like I said the same thing. But you can hear words but not be listening with your heart. And we need to be open to hear what he's saying. Because sometimes he's going to tell you something that is for somebody else. And he wants you to go somewhere. And we need to be those kind of people who are obedient. And to go back to that hymn that we were singing, be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Now that doesn't mean that I get a chair and I sit down and I wait. Being still is being still in my heart. Is being still even when I'm maybe running 100 miles. Well, I can't run 100 miles an hour. I'd be driving. No, it's not supposed to drive 100 miles an hour either. Change that analogy. Right, when I'm running down the street, I can be still in myself, in my spirit, because I'm still listening to Him. And if I'm out on the farm, or if you're out on the farm and you're milking cows, or you're feeding, or doing whatever, you can still be still in your spirit because you're open and listening to Him. And I've said a couple of times, God's spoken to me in the shower. And in a sense, because I'm still, because I'm actually enjoying the heat. And then in that moment, God speaks into my heart. Now, He didn't do that this morning, but He does at times. And it's just, we need to be in that place where we want to hear Him. Because He wants to talk to us. Because that's what people do in a relationship. They talk to one another. And part of talking involves listening. And so we come to Him and we talk to Him. But then we need to be still and let Him talk to us. So there's a man called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And again, it doesn't tell us how. But it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. There again, moved by the Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit move him? He certainly didn't get a pitchfork and go. And you've got to read into this. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. He got a sense. I should go to the temple this morning. And that's the way we should be living our lives. Now, yes, there's certain things that you have to do. There's certain requirements, routines that we all live in. But sometimes God may move you to do something different or to do something extra, or you're planning to go home and you're coming home from work. And you just get this sense, I should go and see somebody. I know I've been putting it off. I'll go and see them now. And the wonderful thing is, because we have these, we can ring ahead to home and say, hey, darling, or, you know, dinner's going to be 15 minutes later than usual. I'm popping in somewhere. Which usually means half an hour, an hour, but at least you told them. We are without excuse. So Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God with what we know as the Nunc Dimittis. Canticle. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And so many, many people have that or choose to have that at a funeral. Lord, let now your servant depart in peace. In other words, I've done what you've called me to do in this life. It's now time for me to move on to the next life. To be with you forever. And that's what Simeon was praying. He was praying about the promise that God had brought into the world in the Messiah. But now he could go. He could depart this life, content that he had done what the Lord had called him to do. And then Simeon, verse 34, blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." Many, many people didn't like Jesus. And there were few that did. And unfortunately, nothing's changed. Not just in Israel. Not just in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. And that's what he talked about. Then just quickly turning to Hebrews chapter 2. We have a few words talking about Abraham's descendants. Talking about who Jesus came, what Jesus came to do and to say. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too spared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy death, who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Do you realize that Abraham's descendants are not just the Jews? Because Abraham's descendants are also us. Because Jesus came to be like one of us, which started in the temple. That's what Simeon was prophesying and blessing Jesus in. But he came for a purpose for Abraham's descendants. And that's you and me. By grace, through faith. We're not Jews, yet Jesus was and is a Jew. We call ourselves Christians because we're followers of Jesus. And Jesus, being a Jew, is a descendant of Abraham. So therefore we are too, if we believe in him. So what do you hear? What do you listen to? Do you hear as a child? Or you get distracted as a mature adult because you're beyond childhood? Do you walk with Jesus who walks with you? And if so, do you talk to him and do what he says when he talks to you? And Jesus says, call God my Father. But he also called him Abba, which means Daddy. Let's determine that we are those who realize what he came to do. Realize what he came and fulfilled. But know him and walk with him. For his name's sake. Amen.